And we're going to be looking at a passage that has been well covered in this church and will again be well covered in this church, hopefully, in this time and in seasons to come, because the Word of God is a living thing, can never be exhausted. So we're looking at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. At least we'll start that tonight and continue with such in the prayer services to come this year. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Let's read before we pray. Paul is writing here and he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Lord, as we consider your word again this evening, we pray that you will help us to understand it and then apply it to our lives. Lord, there's such great value in your word and such great value in this passage concerning the subject of prayer. So Lord, as we examine this further this evening, help us to absorb, to take it in, and to use it in our lives. Lord, let it be a challenge to us. Let it help us establish an even better prayer life than what we've had before. For your glory, and in your Son's name, amen. So this evening, I just want to focus on the first phrase of this passage, which is, "Be anxious for nothing." So it's a well-known passage. It's a well-known two verses. Most of you have memorized it, and the rest of you should be memorizing it. Something we should consider often, and it's something we have been through on many occasions. But tonight, I just want to look at those first few words. Be anxious for nothing. And this word anxious is quite a simple word, actually, and it means to care for. Now, on its own, to care for is not a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing. In fact, we are meant to care for the needs of others. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, it says we ought to have the same care for one another. And in a few chapters back from that, in 1 Corinthians 7:32, it says we ought to care for the things of the Lord. So obviously this word means more than just to care for things, because that on its own, there's nothing wrong with it. But the same word is used in many other passages, and one of them that I want us to have a quick look at is in the book of Luke, chapter 10, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 41. Now, you should know this, obviously, as you should know the scriptures well. But it says there, "Now it happened as they went that he," talking about Jesus Christ, "entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things.'" Same word, worried. So the word anxious, or that word in the Greek, means to care for, which is a good thing. And right out front, we need to recognize the fact that God does want us to care. He's not saying to us that we must not care when he says we must be anxious for nothing. He wants us to care. He does not want us to live a carefree life. But it is one thing to care for things, and it is quite another thing to be worried or anxious about things. Now, Martha cared about a good thing. In this story, she was concerned about being hospitable. She wanted to make sure there was enough food prepared for her guests. She wanted the place clean. She wanted to serve all these things, and it required effort. But it became a distraction for her. The care for these things, and it's a good thing to be hospitable, it's a good thing to provide food for people, But that became an obsession. Well, not an obsession, I guess that's maybe going too far. But it became a thing for her that it became a distraction, the text says. And she lost focus on this. And it became more than just the care. It now became an anxious thing for her. She became worried about these things. And it consumed her time. It consumed her attention. So much so that she missed out on a good thing. And what was that good thing? There was the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in her home. And Mary, who recognized this, not that Martha didn't, but recognized the opportunity more, it was more important than providing for those around. Mary was at the feet of Jesus, listening to his every word, while Martha was worried and anxious about these things that, although they were good, had become a problem for her. And she became worried. The care went too far. We ought to care. But we must be careful that this caring does not turn to worry and anxiety. We must be careful that this caring does not become a distraction. So it is good to care. We do need to be genuinely concerned about things. But we cross the line when this concern turns to worry or anxiety. It's going too far. And it is this going too far in our caring that Paul is warning us about in our passage this evening. Now, Jesus spoke often about anxiety, which shows us how easy it is for us to worry. How easy it is for us to become burdened with a care to the point that it gives us anxiety. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, and maybe you want to turn there, also a well-known passage, because you read your Bible every year, every passage is well-known, is it not? Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34, it's a long passage, but we'll read through it. Jesus again is speaking, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry," same word, "about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor care about your body, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Worry. It's easy for us to worry. Now, the question that might come to you is, but is it important for us to provide for our families? Is it important to provide food and clothing for our families? Yes. But then, isn't it right for me to worry about providing food and clothing for my family? And that is where the answer is obviously no. We should care about providing for the needs of our family. But that care mustn't turn into anxiety and worry. Then we've lost trust in God. That's the point of this passage as well. God provides so much for those who don't ask for the things in nature. How much more can he provide for us? Why then ought we to worry? It's right to be genuinely concerned about things. It's right to be concerned about food on the table for our family. It's right to be concerned about having a job. It's right to be concerned about clothing. But it is not right to worry or to be anxious about these things, because then you're not putting your trust in God. Like he says there, those who don't trust in him, or those who worry about these things, he says, you are of little faith. You know, Zama's been in hospital for a month. Surely, we should be worried about that. Surely that should bring make us anxious. Isn't that an acceptable condition? No. How about the spiritual status of our spouse or our children? These are important things. Are they saved? Aren't they saved? Surely we should be worried about these things and anxious about these things. But the scriptures say, not one thing. Be anxious for nothing. Not one thing. Not even those things ought we to worry about. Should we care about it? Yes. But should we worry about it? No. What about home attacks? No one here wants their house to be broken into while they're there and have their family harmed, beaten, or whatever the case is. Shouldn't we worry about these things? Shouldn't we be anxious about these things? I mean, those are very important. But what does Job say about suffering? In whatever the form it might come in. It's all difficulties, no matter what form they come in, are for God's purposes. Do we trust that? Because if we trust that, we can care about those things. But it shouldn't turn into worry or anxiety, because then we're no longer trusting in God. So must we be concerned about things? Yes, that's a show of genuine concern, of care. But must we worry? No. We must be able to show that care for those we love, but only as we trust in God. Well, I think I've covered this point quite well. I hope you all understand this point. Is it easy? No. But is it there? Yes. Now we ought to live our lives according to the point that has been made. So what is wrong with being anxious? What is wrong with worrying? The question might come up. Well, one, it means we don't trust in God. Now we've discussed that as we've gone through this, but let's just think about that for a minute. As we worry, as we're anxious about things, we're not trusting in God. Because if we trust in His Word, if we meditate on His Word and His promises and we understand them and we should do, and we understand who God is, and we've gone through the book of Job, we understand the character of God, we understand the abilities of God, we understand what He allows His people to go through, yet He's still in control. Then if we are worrying, if we are anxious about these things, we're saying that God cannot control or is not controlling these things. God is unable to deal with this. He's unable to provide for me. He's unable to protect me. He's unable to do this. He's unable to do that. And therefore, I am allowed to worry. That's what we're saying. But it's wrong to worry. It's wrong to be anxious. Because then we're not trusting in Him. And to become a Christian, we're told in the scriptures that we ought to do what? To trust or have faith in Jesus Christ. Christianity doesn't start and end at salvation. It continues through, and all through Christian life, we have to have that same trust and that same faith in the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, in who He is and what He can do. And that ought to be how we live our lives. It's central to our walk with Christ. And anxiety or worry is evidence of the lack of this trust that we have, a lack of this faith. Second reason we should not be anxious is found in this passage that we're looking at. Anxiety robs us of the peace in Christ. And we'll look at this more in the weeks to come or in the months to come. But let's just quickly look at that. It says now, you see, today, a believer has peace in Christ and with Christ because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. There's two types of peace. The one is obtained through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That peace can never be lost. It occurs at salvation and we hold on to it. We don't hold on to it. God holds on to us. So we have this peace that is achieved at salvation. But there's another type of peace, an inner peace, a calm or tranquility inside of us that is there dependent on our obedience to Him. And one of those things is dependent on how much we trust in Him. If we worry or if we're anxious, our trust is down. And that peace goes down with it. That peace becomes less and can even become absent. That we no longer have this peace as we are consumed with this worry or anxiety. And as we're consumed with this, we lose that peace that Paul is referring to in this passage. So why should we not worry? What's wrong with worrying and being anxious? Well, we will lose that peace. And we don't want to lose that peace. That feeling of calmness and tranquility that keeps us on the path, keeps us in control. So we ought to care for many things, but be anxious for not one thing. So what keeps us from being anxious? Well, that's the purpose of this passage. Worry about not one thing, but take everything to God in prayer. So be concerned for things, care about things, yes, but do not worry or be anxious for one thing, not one thing. But in everything, take it to Him in prayer. Now, do you tend to worry about things? We'll be honest with ourselves, we do. It's not a matter of if we tend to worry about things, it's how often we tend to worry about things. Now, some of us might not worry as much as others do, but we all have this tendency, we're all tempted to worry and be anxious about things in our lives. Now, the structure of the verbs in this passage implies that this was a habit of the believers in Philippi. It was a habit, a recurring thing in their life to worry about things. And if we're honest, we have that same tendency. That same tendency to continue to worry about things. And God is writing this through the Apostle Paul. He's given us this inspired scriptures, preserved it for us till today, so we know how to deal with this. Don't worry. Take everything to God in prayer. Now, we will delve more into this passage as the months go by. But for now, it's clear. Prayer is a major part of the antidote to worry or anxiety. Now, Peter adds to this idea when he writes in 1 Peter 5, 7. He says, in the New King James Version, he says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, the NIV translated quite a little differently, but the word is used here. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Cast all your anxiety on Him, for He cares for you. Peter and Paul saying the same thing. It's the same scriptures. As we pray to Him about all the things, we cast our anxiety, or the potential of that anxiety, on Him. Now, God cannot worry about anything. In fact, understand that. But it's almost as if Peter or Paul is saying, let God worry about it. Peter, for that matter, as well. Let God worry about it. Tell Him about it. Let Him worry about it. You don't worry about it. Let Him deal with it. Don't be concerned. Or don't be anxious about it. Cast all your anxieties on Him. Let Him worry about them. Tell God about all your cares. All the things that concern you. And there are things that concern us, and they should concern us. We should care about our needs. We should care about the needs for others. And we should take this to Him in prayer, but we should not worry or be anxious about it. Hand it over to Him. The challenge is to care for things and to care for others, but also to trust in God in that caring. So in the context of our Philippian passage, prayer is the answer. Prayer is prayer shows trust in God, and prayer produces or maintains this peace or inner tranquility as we walk with Christ, as we trust and walk with Him. So prayer then is definitely one of the primary ingredients or one of the primary parts of the antidote to worry and anxiety. We've all, if we're honest with ourselves, we do have that tendency to worry. So prayer is the answer to that. So if you tend to worry more than others, if you do tend to worry and be anxious, then I question you, as I question myself, please understand this, how much are we praying? How well are we praying? Because that is the answer that the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, God is telling us is the answer, at least one of the primary answers to dealing with anxiety, dealing with worry in our lives. Seems to me like this is an excellent reason to continue in prayer and to increase our prayer.